are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Happy Friday, everybody. The Timberwolves defeated the Portland Trail Blazers with ease on Thursday night, and that makes this a good day, a good Friday. Today, we're going to break down the win, look at individual studs and duds from the victory, as we always do, and we'll talk about the latest Robert Covington rumor. Yes, there's another one. If you did not see the rumor on Thursday, we'll talk a little bit about that in depth. And so far, from what we've heard, kind of weigh what those potential offers could be from some opposing teams and whether or not it looks at this stage like a Robert Covington trade could actually make some sense for the Wolves. All right, first we're going to talk about Wolves Blazers. This was the second time the two teams met this year. The Wolves had lost by, I think it was six, a couple weeks ago in Portland, about 3 weeks ago, I guess, right before Christmas. And of course, that was kind of right in the middle of that major losing streak. The Wolves were competitive in that game, but ultimately couldn't get it done on the road. In this game, the Wolves were down by six after the first quarter. Early in the game, Hassan Whiteside controlled the paint. He had a couple of big blocks, dominated Gorgui Dieng on a couple of occasions. The Wolves really struggled defensively. In the early stages of the game, Carmelo Anthony scored a couple times, from the mid-range, kind of back-to-the-basket type play, like old New York Knicks Carmelo Anthony, or even, I guess, Denver Nuggets Carmelo Anthony. And the Wolves were down by six heading into the second quarter. Things completely flipped in the second frame. The Wolves outscored the Blazers 31-13. The defense completely clamped down. Josh Okogie came off the bench and was really big defensively, guarded Carmelo really well. The Wolves guards were able to, Shabazz Napier did a good job of when he entered the game for Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague actually had a really good stint, and then Napier especially was very good on defense in the second quarter. And that was coupled with, not surprisingly, the Wolves, of course, this margin was built by great defense and really good shooting. The Wolves were getting to the rim almost at will when Whiteside was taking a break off the floor. There was no resistance in the paint. The Blazers don't have a backup center due to all their injuries. And the Wolves were making threes and making layups. And virtually all of their shots were, I think, everything but maybe two makes in the entire first half were either paint twos or three-pointers. And for the game, the Wolves ended up shooting 40.6% from beyond the arc, 13-32. Wiggins, Gorgui Dieng, those guys were each 2-for-4. Josh Okogie was 2-for-2 from three. The Wolves were just solid from beyond the arc. And just a really good second quarter especially. And they went ahead and turned that six-point deficit into a double-digit lead by halftime. And again, a lot of that just was due to continuing to attack and playing solid defense. More of the same in the third quarter. They actually built their lead, the Wolves did, into the mid-20s before the midway point in the third quarter, and then built that lead up to 27 a couple of different times, including with under a minute to play in the third quarter, and led by 26 at the start of the fourth. The final margin was only 14 points, so obviously that means we'll talk about the Sixers later. Spoiler alert, the Blazers, that means they outscored the Wolves by 12 in the fourth quarter, obviously. But it wasn't ever really dicey. I mean, there were a few moments where the Wolves were just struggling to score, and then it seemed like the Sixers were getting a bunch of calls late in the game for whatever reason. But the offense became a little bit stagnant, and then the last 5 to 6 minutes were pretty much garbage time anyways. And the Wolves kind of gave a little bit more ground than they probably needed to, but it was never really dicey up 26 heading into the fourth quarter. Overall for this game, I think the most impressive thing, even though the Wolves shot so well from beyond the arc, was the defense. They gave up 102 points. Shouldn't have been that many, except for some really lackadaisical defense at the tail end of the blowout. But they only gave up 102 points. The Blazers shot 36.5% from the field, under 30%. They were 29.7% from beyond the arc. Kent Bazemore was 0 of 8 from the field in this game in 30 minutes. Damian Lillard was 6 of 17. They were forcing him into tough threes. He was 3 of 10 beyond the arc. He did have 8 assists, no turnovers, but that's just how Lillard plays, is he shoots the ball a lot, doesn't really turn it over in terms of high usage point guards because of the way the Blazers play. CJ McCollum shot 6 of 12 and 3 of 4 beyond the arc, but he only had 15 points, 0 assists, and a turnover was a game worst, minus 31 with CJ McCollum in just 25 minutes, which goes to show you how aggressive the Wolves, and especially Andrew Wiggins, we'll talk more about Wiggins here in our next segment, were really aggressive on offense. McCollum couldn't keep up defensively. And while he was decent on offense himself, we talked in our preview show about how McCollum doesn't get to the rim, doesn't get to the free throw line. Sure enough, 25 minutes, scored 15 points, didn't attempt a single free throw, only had two rebounds. So he's pretty much hovering around the perimeter and taking mid-range and three-point jumpers. And that's exactly what happened. The Wolves were able to handle the 15 points in 25 minutes because nobody else did efficient damage at all for the Blazers. Hassan Whiteside had a great start to the game, finished with 15 and 14, but a lot of his damage, both of his blocks were in the first quarter. And as the game progressed, he just wasn't a factor. Gorgui Dieng wasn't either, and basically the team's matched big men. Gorgui, I mean, he had a great game. He was 12 and 10, 12 points, 10 rebounds, but he only played 17 minutes, was 5 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 4 beyond the arc, a couple of steals and a block. But the Wolves didn't really need him given the game flow and given the minutes that Whiteside was able to see. And the Wolves, actually, they rotated several centers through and they all played pretty well. So it was almost an even split between Gorgui Dieng, 17 minutes, Naz Reid, 17 minutes, and Noah Vonleh, 13 minutes. And then Jordan Bell finished the game, played 5 minutes with Naz Reid. So interesting center play in this one, but there's literally no big men off the bench for the Blazers. I mean, the biggest guys off the bench, they're, you know, Anthony Tolliver, who obviously isn't really a center. And then a bunch of effectively wing players, Nasir Little and Gary Trent Jr., I guess would be the next biggest guys. And so really it was just shuffling the lineup for the Blazers. Carmelo ended up only playing 24 minutes as well, shot 3 of 10 from the floor. So the Wolves just really clamped down defensively. Josh Okogie was especially impressive. Jarrett Culver was very good defensively. I mentioned Napier did a decent job on the Blazers guards. And the Wolves were doing, other than a couple of notable instances, usually out of timeouts, it seemed like the Wolves, when the Blazers were calling a set play, the Wolves did a good job of getting out in the screen and roll and contesting three-pointers. And that led to the sub 30% three-point shooting for the Blazers in this one. So overall, really impressive performance from the Wolves. Obviously, the Blazers aren't world beaters. They now are, a half game ahead of the Wolves, or I guess virtually tied in the Western Conference standings. But it was big to even the season series. Good to win a third straight home game. Good to win the fifth game in 8 tries. This is an important opponent to beat in terms of Western Conference playoff seeding, or I guess positioning to try and get the 8th seed. So a nice win, a nice convincing win, and really nothing too negative to say about this one. Overall, just an impressive performance. All right, before we get into individual studs and duds, I did want to mention our friends at MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between the end of football season, the middle of the NBA season, and I guess really kind of the start of college basketball season, at least conference play, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. $1,000 in free money. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous signup offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, next up, wanted to talk about studs and duds from this game. And I guess, quite honestly, there really weren't any duds for the Wolves in this game. I tried to come up with some, but I, in good conscience, couldn't give anybody a dud. The closest thing would be Naz Reid was 0 for 5 from the field, but he played 17 minutes, had 6 rebounds and an assist and a block, no turnovers. He did have 5 fouls, so I guess he'd be the closest thing to a dud, but I'm not even going to officially give him a dud for this game. This is just an all-around solid performance by the Wolves. Everybody that played contributed positively, and nobody really stuck out as a poor performer in this game. In terms of studs, I mean, that's a lot easier. It's a little bit harder to narrow it. The Wolves only had one guy score more than 15 points in this game, and that was Andrew Wiggins. He had 23 points, only had to play 26 minutes. I don't think he saw the court at all in the fourth quarter. 23 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds, only 1 turnover. Shot 9 of 15 from the field, 2 of 4 beyond the arc. He was only 3 of 6 from the free throw line, which is the only issue in this one for Wiggins. He was really good. He missed his first couple shots. Kind of, you know, it felt like the post flu Wiggins that we'd seen the last couple of times out. But then suddenly he flipped a switch, became really active offensively in terms of looking to pass the ball. He got into the mid-range, and instead of shooting jumpers, he was passing to open three-pointers, passing to cutters, passing to guys in the paint. It was really good to see Wiggins distributing the way that he was. He scored a couple of times on floaters in the paint, didn't get all the way to the rim that often, but did a couple of times. There were a couple instances where he turned the corner and got all the way to the rim, and he did make a couple of mid-range jumpers and miss one or two. It felt like he shot maybe one or two more mid-range jumpers than he had been. He's shooting that couple a game, and I think he shot at least 4 in this one. But he was still 2 of 4 beyond the arc, and he still scored at the rim and was efficient, shot over 50% from the game. So a really good all-around performance. The Wolves will take 8 assists to 1 turnover for Wiggins and over 50% shooting, 2 of 4 from 3 any day of the week. I don't care that he only had 3 rebounds. He only played 26 minutes. He was good enough in every other facet that it didn't matter. So really solid performance from Wiggins. I'd say the second star of the game for the Wolves would probably be Jarrett Culver. He was had 12.6 rebounds in this game, 1 assist, 2 blocks. He did have 4 turnovers, but he played 30 minutes and again was ultra aggressive, had a couple of beautiful drives to the basket. There was a baseline drive that he finished with a reverse with the right hand on the left-hand side of the backboard. Just an impressive drive to the basket. He only attempted 1 3 in this game and missed it, but that was fine. I mean, he, instead of settling for, and I'm not one to complain about quote unquote settling for threes, but when you're shooting 25% from three, you got to pick your spots. And I think sometimes Culver doesn't do the best job with that. In this game, he did. He only attempted 1 3. He mostly got to the rim. He did have one crazy turnaround jumper from really from the right baseline. It was kind of, it was one of those like Andrew Wiggins from his rookie year type attempts, but he made it. So it was more like Kobe or Michael Jordan, but it not a great shot, but he made it. So as long as that doesn't keep happening too often, impressive that Culver was able to pull that off. He's got incredible athleticism. He did have a huge poster dunk in the last 30 seconds that made everybody lose their minds. So just a wire-to-wire great game from Culver. Really good defensively again. Turnovers are a little bit of an issue, but overall, a good performance for him. We also need to shout out Jeff Teague. Probably, I guess, would give him a third star of the game. Had 12 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, a block, 4 of 8 from the field, 1 of 2 beyond the arc. Made all 3 of his free throws. Teague, actually, he had a 4-point play where he pump faked, hit the 3 from straight on, and made the free throw. I think that was in the third quarter. It was a plus 2 on the game off the bench in 25 minutes. Was on the floor for part of that mini meaningless comeback for Portland in the fourth quarter. But overall, really good game from Teague. Solid defensively, which hasn't always been the case for him, especially this year, and was a big part of the win. Robert Covington, if we're going to give out 4 stars, I guess it would be the next one. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 6 of 12 from the field, 2 of 6 beyond the arc. So a classic Covington game. He was a team high plus 20, was super good defensively. There were a couple of moments where the Blazers just went around him in one-on-one in isolation defensively. And it was, you know, a little fluky and also an example of Covington's one-on-one defense maybe not being quite up to par this year is what we've seen in recent years. Again, still a very good defender. We covered this the other day. Still a very good defender, still an outstanding team defender. But occasionally he was beaten off the dribble, and that was weird to see. But solid overall for this game. Again, a perfect offensive game from him. 15 points on, you know, 50% shooting, 2 of 6 beyond the arc. Exactly what you'd expect to see from Roko. So really, really impressive game there. Everybody else that played for the Wolves had a solid game. Gorgie had 12 and 10. We mentioned that in 17 minutes. Shabazz Napier was quiet. He somehow only attempted 5 shots. He's been extremely high usage lately, but had 9 points, 4 assists in 20 minutes. Noah Vonleh had 8 and 6 in just 13 minutes off the bench. Josh Okogie was very good on both ends of the floor again. He somehow fouled out in 25 minutes, but was super good defensively. And that was really impressive. So overall, really a wire-to-wire impressive win by the Wolves. No individual duds. Just a positive game to head into a weekend in which the Wolves have Friday and Saturday off before taking on Sunday. They will be in Houston to take on the Blazers for a weird 4 p.m. game in the midst of the NFL playoffs. So a couple days off for the Wolves before we look forward to that one. All right, in our last segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the latest Robert Covington trade rumor and whether or not there is any truth to that rumor that was put out there earlier this week. We spent some time in Thursday's episode talking about the Robert Covington to the Lakers rumor, and that ended up centering around Kyle Kuzma and I guess just a bunch of salary cap filler. Basically, the Lakers don't have picks to trade. They would basically be trading. They almost would have to trade these three guys: DeMarcus Cousins, expiring contract; Quinn Cook, who's not, I believe, expiring, or I think he's got $1 million guaranteed for next year, but he would be part of the trade. And then also, it would center around Kyle Kuzma, who's only making a few million bucks and is really the only attractive piece that the Lakers might have to trade. My conclusion was basically the Wolves could do a lot better than that, unless there's a three-team deal in which Kuzma goes somewhere else and the Wolves get some other assets, including a pick. It's unlikely Covington goes to the Lakers. They're just going to have too many options. One better option that came up in a couple of different places, including at theringer.com on Thursday, is the possibility of the 76ers, who employed Robert Covington prior to his trade from the Sixers to the Wolves just a little over a year ago, about 14 months ago in the Jimmy Butler trade. But the rumor, there weren't any specific players discussed by Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer, or I forget where else I saw this, but there was somebody else who had this potential rumor. The Sixers don't have a ton to offer either, unless they're offering rotation players, which they don't want to do as a playoff team. So some of the trade machine discussions, if you look at ESPN Trade Machine or any of the other sites that allow you to try and match salaries, Mike Scott's probably going to get involved in terms of, he's a veteran forward that is more of a win now piece, but it, you know, could be upgraded in the rotation for the Sixers, and Robert Covington would offer that or would accomplish that. Matisse Thybulle is really the only guy who's attractive in terms of a young player that the Wolves would probably pull the trigger for. Another name could be Zaire Smith, who was a rookie last year, was the 16th overall pick and only played in three games at the NBA level, has been in the G League all season and has been just okay. He's still only 20 years old, and there's certainly upside there. It would add to the Wolves' kind of stable of young, raw wings with, you know, solid defensive games and inefficient yet still tantalizing offensive games. Josh Okogie, Jarrett Culver, and then Zaire Smith. That would be quite the trio of guys with relatively not similar games, but basically similar outlooks in terms of their profiles as prospects. Young guys with raw offensive games, anywhere from decent to good defensively. Struggles from out in terms of outside shooting. So, you know, a lot, I don't know if the Wolves would be too excited to take on Smith and unless there was significant draft picks included. The Sixers do have draft picks to trade. It's just they're not going to be super high draft picks. They've got a couple of high second rounders that they had acquired in trade from, I think it was the Knicks and the Hawks. So there could be some draft pick incentives there. But again, I think the Wolves can do better. Now, if the Wolves were able to get Matisse Thybulle, who's a rookie this year, that wouldn't be the worst thing. He was the 20th overall pick in the draft just this past summer. He's played in 31 games for the Sixers. He's actually started three. He's averaging 5 points a game, a little over a rebound and assist, a steal and a half. He's shooting 44.9% from beyond the arc. He's only attempting 2.2 three-pointers per game, but his three-point rate is about 60%. So about 60% of his field goal attempts are threes, and he's shooting 45% from out there. So obviously small sample size, 31 games into his career, but he played 4 years at Washington, was a 35.8% three-point shooter over his four-year career there, although he shot just 30.5% in his senior year. Every other year, he was over 36%. So there's reason to believe that he's a good shooter. You look at his free throw shooting from college, 78.2% so far in the NBA, just 66.7%, but he's only attempted 24 free throws. So all the indicators show that he is a solid shooter. He's probably not a 45% three-point shooter, but he's probably in the mid to upper 30s, worst case scenario, given his track record in college and so far in the NBA. And the biggest thing with him is he's a fantastic defensive player. For as little as he's done offensively outside of making some threes, he's been really good on defense, averaging a steal and a half a game, which of course isn't the end all be all for defensive indicators, but a steal and a half a game in just 18 minutes a game is really, really good. And all the defensive metrics point to him being really, really good on defense. He's got great size, 6'5", 200 pounds as a shooting guard, a good frame to guard twos and some threes and obviously ones. And he's a really big part of the Sixers rotation of a team that's really good. I mean, the Sixers, even though they've struggled lately, you know, Philadelphia is still 25-14 and they're in the conversation for clearly home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs, obviously in the Eastern Conference. But at any rate, if the Sixers put Thibault on the table, we don't know that they have, and I'm pretty sure that they haven't, but he would be a fantastic piece for the Wolves to look at. They'd probably still request a pick. I'm sure that the Wolves ask would be something like Mike Scott and Thibault to make the trade work, or Thibault and then Scott to make the trade work rather, plus a first round pick and maybe a second or something. The Wolves are going to ask for a lot to start because they don't have, again, we talked about this extensively on Thursday. The Wolves do not have to trade Robert Covington. There's no incentive for them to do so unless they can create some sort of bidding war because there are only so many 3-and-D guys available. And not only that, Covington's not a rental. He's got two more years after this one on his contract. So he's an extremely attractive trade chip. There's no reason for the Wolves to trade him. They have all the leverage, especially if they're hanging in there for the eighth playoff spot. Gerson Rosas can answer his phone and say, yeah, I don't really feel like trading Covington because we're only a game and a half out of the playoffs and he's the perfect fit for this team. And that's no doubt how he's starting every conversation and then saying, give me your best offer, because I would not doubt that there's been probably 10 to 12 teams, if not more, that have already made some sort of preliminary inquiry or even offer for Covington. And the Wolves aren't going to trade him until perhaps the deadline, or maybe not at all. And my prediction that I gave on Thursday's episode was the Wolves keep him through the season and most likely don't move him until this time next year. Unless, of course, and this is the whole reason they might not trade him, if things turn around, if the Wolves are finally playing better again now, you take out that weird 11-game losing streak that obviously they didn't play well, but there was some fluky stuff that happened in there. And the Wolves are roughly a 500 team with Towns only playing, you know, with Towns missing 13 games. And so you figure with Towns they were 10-8. So this is, I mean, you look at this team and it's not crazy to think they're going to end up around 500, which might be enough for the playoffs. It might not in the Western Conference, but you know, a 500 level team that's going to improve in the offseason. They're going to have some cap space. They're going to have some expirings. There's no incentive for the Wolves to blow things up in terms of Covington. He's the team's second best player, all things considered. I get Wiggins has had a good season, but you factor everything in. Covington right now at this moment is the second best player on the Wolves. At worst, third best player. So there, again, no incentive for the Wolves to move him. They can create a bidding war. I think if you can get Thibault and a pick, you'd seriously have to consider it, because Thibault could turn into somebody like Rocco in terms of a 3-and-D guy only. And you know, he's a little bit smaller. He's not going to be able to play the four. And so the Wolves would have another hole to fill there. But if you can get Thibault and a first round pick, it's something the Wolves would have to consider. So far, that's the only potential trade match that makes sense from the perspective of what the Wolves could get back. And again, to be clear, there wasn't a rumor suggesting the Wolves could get Thibault. That's just the obvious player. And actually, Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer did mention Thibault as the one rotation young player that the Sixers could maybe be convinced to move, but they won't want to. I do not think the Wolves will trade Robert Covington for a deal including Zaire Smith unless there's a lot more included. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Again, Rosas is holding all the cards. He's not in a bad spot when it comes to Covington, so don't expect him to just move him to move him. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back on Monday morning. We'll recap Sunday's game against the Houston Rockets. That's a 4 p.m. start in Houston, and we'll talk all about that on Monday, as well as any rumors that come up over the weekend. We're now getting much, much closer to that trade deadline, so I'm sure we'll have more rumors to discuss. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.